Well, we'll do our little football fix here, of course, as we do each day. Ryan and I get you ready. The countdown to the NFL season is on. Ryan, how many days we got left?
I don't have the count to the season, but camp starts on July 22nd for rookies.
I will
tell you. Tell me there was going to be a math test.
I got the exact day. Eagle kickoff starts.
Oh, you're going to kickoff. All right.
80 days.
That's close. That's right there.
Season opener. 80 days, 19 hours, 52 minutes, and 12 seconds from right now. Think I'm ready?
I can tell you're ready.
Mike Vick's coming up today at 5:30 on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about the quarterback here. He is the guy. I mean, he's the guy, and the reports are that he's been like the first one in and the last one to leave in all these mini camps and everything. You've been around this guy a couple of years now. Do you see, even this year, in the few days you've been up there at mini camp and just around this team, a different Michael Vick this year than the one we saw in the three previous years here in Philly?
Well, you know, I kind of think this is just sort of my feeling, and this comes from hearing what others have had to say about him this year, because I haven't had enough chances to really be around him this year to start to form an opinion on him specifically this year. But I feel like when he first had that stretch where he was on fire, he was doing the right things. He was coming in early. He was the last to leave. I think he got a little overconfident, and that's why he started to struggle in part. I think that was part of the turnover issue. And I think he realized that, and now he's kind of getting back to where he started, Michael Vick, quote-unquote, 2.0.
So everybody seems to think, I mean, this is a piece by John Clayton today. They did this NFC East piece, John Clayton forecast. He has the Eagles 10-6, and he says, I think a lot rides on the quarterback, Michael Vick, and his ability to limit the turnovers that were so costly during last season's September slow start. Would Mike Vick, do you think, if and we will have a chance to ask him, do we think that Mike Vick thinks that the season they had last year is because of his play?
I don't think he would say it's because of his play. I think he would give you the politically correct answer there of, you know, I've got to do a better job with the turnovers, but it's a team game. We've all got to do the right things, and it's sort of a fluke. I think that's a lot of their feeling, that the turnovers, while some were their fault, others were just a run of bad luck, which is in part true, but you've really got to focus on the ones that you can take care of, get rid of those, and then you can't worry about the rest. I don't think he would shoulder the blame 100% on that.
Now, a lot last year went into the fact that they turned the ball over so much. But what Nnamdi Asomugha said today, I thought was kind of interesting about resentment. Do you get a sense, I mean, you were in the locker room last year, you followed this team the last couple of years as well. Did you get a sense at any point there was resentment between the two units, offense and defense?
I don't think there was ever resentment between the players or between the units. If there was resentment, I think it might have been between players who were looking for contract extensions but had not gotten them and the front office. And that resentment may have been something along the lines of, well, you can't give me a new contract, but you can go pay this guy. But I don't think somebody would then blame that guy for getting the deal. I think it was limited to maybe front office and player resentment. And obviously the one case that really stands out, it's no secret, DeSean Jackson wanted a new deal. Now he's got one, and now he's happy.
Football Fix here on the Sports Bash 97.3 ESPN. One of the things we like to do in the Football Fix is get you ready for this Eagle football season, up to training camp, looking at the positions. Let's look at the running backs today. LeSean McCoy got his money, and he was a guy that had an unbelievable season last year, but he's at a position people were like, well, maybe they just let him run it out, use him up, and then let him move on. What did it show you about McCoy? How important was he to the Eagles organization that they ended up giving him that money? A little uncharacteristic of the Eagles. Did it show you more about McCoy or the new look of the organization, the new structure?
I really think it's a combination of things. And first of all, you've got to remember that while LeSean McCoy was a guy in line for a new deal, he's also only 23 years old. So it's not like they're putting that money into somebody who won't be earning it in the prime of his career. That's important to keep in mind. I think they also had to keep in mind that if he goes down and puts up another year like last year, they would have had to pay him even more money than they did. They didn't want to land in that spot. And at the same time, it is sort of a sign of the organization treating players a little bit better, a little bit differently.
Ryan Messick, our Eagles insider, Mike Gill, the Sports Bash, Football Fix, 97.3 ESPN. LeSean McCoy, could he be the workhorse running back? Is he the between-the-tackle kind of guy? Do we see them lessen the load? How do they use McCoy this year?
I think they might lessen the load just a little bit. I think that's something they would like to do to make sure they don't wear him down. At the same time, even if he gets the same number of carries, I'd be surprised if he puts up as good of numbers as last year. I'm not calling for him to fall way back, but I would be surprised if he scores 17 touchdowns and has over 1,300 yards again next year. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 yards and maybe 10 to 12 touchdowns is what you might expect from LeSean McCoy. Keep in mind, he's not going to be running behind Jason Peters this year. That's going to have an impact, and it's just tough to repeat that kind of, you know, all-pro, high-level, elite performance year in, year out. But I think he'll have another strong year.
All right. Now, coming off a 20-touchdown season, new long-term contract, you wonder if they lean on him more than ever. But if they don't, who's the guy behind him? Who is, in your opinion, the main guy to get at least some of the carries this year if they don't want to use McCoy up in year number one of that deal? What's the battle look like? Kind of handicap Lewis, Brown, Polk, and that matchup.
Well, it's interesting because you would normally say Deion Lewis is the guy who has to come in as the favorite because he was around last year. But you think, what do you want behind LeSean McCoy? You'd probably like a guy who's a little bit bigger, who can run a little stronger between the tackles. McCoy's capable of running between the tackles, but he's more of a shifty, fast guy. Well, Bryce Brown comes in at 6 foot, 223 pounds. Chris Polk is 5'11", 222, and Deion Lewis is 5'8", 195, and that 195 is pretty darn generous. So you've got to wonder, Deion Lewis has the experience. The other two guys have a little bit more size. To me, it's absolutely wide open heading into camp. And I wouldn't be surprised also if a veteran ends up in training camp, whether he makes the roster or not, just to get a little bit more experience there behind McCoy. But to me, that is as wide open and difficult to handicap a race as you're going to find on this team.
Okay, give us a weakness of this running back situation. What's the weakness in this four-man? You got McCoy, Lewis, Brown, and Polk. What's the weakness?
Well, the weakness would obviously be a lack of experience depth. You know what you have in LeSean McCoy. I'd be surprised if he repeated last year. I'd also be surprised if he had less than 1,000 yards or less than 10 touchdowns if he doesn't get hurt. So you know what you have there, but behind him, you don't have a guy who's handled the load. Say LeSean McCoy gets hurt, misses four or five games. You don't feel confident with any one of those guys as the premier back. That's the weakness of this group of running backs.
All right, who's the hidden gem? Who's the guy to keep the eye on? Who's the breakout guy potentially? If McCoy got hurt, which of these guys? Maybe Lewis is the backup, but if McCoy got hurt and missed a lot of time, who's the guy that maybe is the diamond in the rough?
It's probably the Eagles wide receivers, because if LeSean McCoy gets hurt, you might see Michael Vick throwing 50 times a game, knowing how Andy Reid thinks. But that's a cop-out to the answer. So I will tell you to take a look at whoever wins the battle between Bryce Brown and Chris Polk, because those guys both have a lot of talent, a lot of size. If Bryce Brown's motivated and or if Chris Polk is healthy, they would have the ability, I think, to wear down a little bit less and maybe handle more carries than Deion Lewis.
Sports Bash Football Fix, 97.3 ESPN. Mike Hill, our Eagles insider, Ryan Messick here. I'll tell you the weakness here, too. You wonder, I don't know about you, but how significant of a step did McCoy take in the blocking game, in the pass protection game?
Oh, I mean, that was important for him last year, and it was a big part of his development. You know the Eagles will not rely on a running back, will not give him the kind of workload they gave LeSean McCoy, have him on the field in those situations if they're not confident in his ability to protect the quarterback. And it's something LeSean McCoy worked on and improved, and that's very key to Andy Reid because he loves to throw the ball around all over the field.
My weakness, by the way, is that backup running back position too. And I think the guy to keep an eye on is different from the backup, because I think they'll give the backup to Deion Lewis. I think he'll be the guy that gets a majority of the reps. But I don't know that Deion Lewis would move up the depth chart and be the number one guy. You look at a guy like Polk or Brown, because I think they like to bring these young guys in now. Before, they didn't do that, but it's almost like they like to say, you know what, we found a guy that you didn't think we could find. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I also think if LeSean McCoy got hurt, it wouldn't be a single backup. It would kind of be running back by committee, because there's not one of those guys that I think any of us could say with 100% confidence he's the guy that needs to carry the load, or he's even capable of carrying the load. So I think if LeSean McCoy got hurt, you might even see them look to make a trade to bring somebody in if they went into the season without a backup and he got hurt. That's why it is such a big weakness. You love those guys as backups, as depth, as a young guy to be excited about for the future, but you're not so thrilled with them if they have to carry the ball 20, 25 times a game, whether it's alone or collectively.
What's